extremely important study. This is it is so difficult to see how mercy triumphs over judgment. Our love never fails, and that means in every aspect. And yet man so much desires to choose righteousness and law and justice, but love never fails. So we'll get ready for that. Also, Saturday the 27th, we're going to have a work day here. Saturday the 27th. And so kind of hopefully give you enough time here to make plans to come and work with us on that Saturday. It's the Saturday before Easter, and see if we can get the place really fixed up and nice for the spring, summer. And so that'll be Saturday, March the 27th. So please bear that in mind. David McNeil's mother, is it? Mother is in critical condition. So she lives in Colorado. And so Dave and Linda are back in Colorado right now. So let's be in prayer for them at this time. It's always a difficult thing. Anything else we need to be in prayer concerning? Okay, let's prepare ourselves then for the continuation of our study in Loving as Christ Loved Us. And we're dealing with the how and the cause of this love so that we can love as Christ loved. It's not something that we choose to do and persevere and make happen. It is something that God the Holy Spirit does in and for us. So let's prepare ourselves in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, pray that the Spirit now will lead us to clear understanding of who and what you are with the declaration that God is love. That Heavenly Father, in the things that we study, we learn concerning you. And so often in our lives, it may look like you do not love. It may look like that if you did love, certain things would not happen. And so, Father, we pray that we will understand your love, understand you, and understand our relationship with you. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Ephesians 5:18 is where we left off last week. Ephesians 5:18. Very important study. In Ephesians 5:18, Paul takes a very simple, well-known illustration of the Spirit-filled life. And Ephesians 5:18, and where he declares, "Do not be drunk with wine." So we are in the midst of looking at this. Do not be drunk. That is to do not be intoxicated. We've studied a little bit of this. Do not get drunk or be drunk with alcohol, for that is dissipation or debauchery. Now, and then he says that the comparative contrast. The comparative contrast, but be filled with the Spirit. That is, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And every now and then, often, the original is rich for us. And you remember, this is in the passive voice. We receive being filled. And so, and I want to stress the importance again. Just that simple passive voice. It's not something that you and I do in order to be filled with the Spirit. We do not commit ourselves. We don't try harder. We don't try to be good. If we receive being filled. So there's a question. If I receive something, what do I do, or how does it come about that I receive it, if that's all that happens? If you say, "I have to do something," then tell me what I have to do, and I go do it. But if you say, "Just that I receive something," well, that's fine. You know, even if it's nothing more, where are they going to pass it out? And so I'll be there. How do I receive this? So, passive voice, be filled. Receive being filled would be a really correct translation of this. And of course, we do this by the same manner in which we receive anything from God. And that is by simply trusting Him. It's so difficult for man to accept. There's thousands upon thousands of sermons preached and taught every day, every week, on doing something for God. And just the opposite is so true, if we would just see it. And ours is a God who just desires that we come to the point where we will receive from Him. That's the declining of that verb, but parsing of the verb, but the verb itself. And we've taken a look at a few things in this respect. To be filled means to fill up a deficiency. There's a deficiency, people, when you and I are not empowered by the Holy Spirit. There's a deficiency in our operation. And that deficiency means we're not going to get anywhere. We're just going to struggle. And so the deficiency is going to be filled by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. The word does have some kind of a meaning of being possessed. Alcohol possesses us, and the Spirit fully possesses, fully influences. And so we looked at how the Holy Spirit fully influences us. The idea of pouring spiritual love from the Romans 5, spiritual love is poured into our heart. It fully possesses every part of our soul. So if you desire God to influence your life, then His Spirit must totally influence every aspect of our soul, if we desire for Him to impact or affect our lives. We left off right here. The verb means to fill with certain qualities. As a contrast with the quality of wine, for an example, in our passage, the contrast with the quality of wine, here we have being filled with the quality of the Holy Spirit. Or another way of looking at it, the quality of the flesh, in contrast with the quality of the Holy Spirit. So we simply have to realize we cannot, will not love as Christ loved without being totally possessed, filled, empowered by God the Holy Spirit. So the present tense, this is something that should characterize your life. Be constantly filled with the Spirit. The passage, subjunctive, receives it. We receive it. I receive it by keep walking by faith, and we keep receiving this from Him. And so, again, whenever we desire, we desire that we be influenced by the Holy Spirit, it is simply a matter of trusting Him. Now, stop being intoxicated by wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. All right, let's take a few points here, those that do take points, and those who don't, just follow through in the thought process of what we're going to look at here. Look at some of the mechanics, if you please, the procedure of being filled with the Spirit, and comparing it with being intoxicated with wine. Same thing is done in Acts 2, 12 through 21. We won't take time to read that tonight, but being empowered, being filled by it with the Holy Spirit. So let's just take a few points that will help us to get some thoughts down. One, the verb filled, constantly filled. What this verb refers to is a constant condition. When one is drunk, he doesn't go back and forth from drunkenness to soberness and back to drunkenness. You're drunk, if you want to stay with that concept. And so for a period of time, you're going to stay drunk. And you don't get to, 5 minutes later, well, I want to be sober. Boom, I'm sober. No, there's something going on in the physical system, the influence of wine, the influence of alcohol, and it's there. And the old joke, a lot of people think, well, give them lots of coffee. Well, what you really got, the old joke goes, you just got a well awake drunk, and he's wide awake, a wide awake drunk. So the wine just has to work its way through, but you're in that state of drunkenness. Now, here we want to be in a constant state of being filled with the Holy Spirit and constantly influenced by the Holy Spirit. We could get into a long discussion. Is this possible? How long is this possible? That a person stays filled with the Spirit for an hour, or 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, a lifetime, and everybody likes to argue that. But the point is, this is what we want to do. We want to continue to walk by faith so we're constantly influenced by the Holy Spirit. Point two, when you're filled with wine to the point of intoxication, What this means is that another force has taken over your mind and body, and in that sense controls, dominates your person. When alcohol fills your body, fills your blood, goes through your entire system, it controls. And now we could get into long discussions about what I'm getting ready to say here. Changes your personality. Some people would argue lets other things come out of the flesh that are already there, sitting there, and all these kinds of things. Whatever words you want to use, let's just agree that alcohol does influence one's personality, one's person. Alcohol gets in and controls. It takes control. We know it to be a depressant. A lot of people think it's just a stimulant, but alcohol is not a stimulant. It is a depressant. And so it causes a lot of action and reaction going on in your system, in your thinking. Your very desires are influenced. Your thinking, your attitudes, your behavior is influenced and changed by alcohol. And so this is what, if we stay with the analogy, do not be drunk with alcohol. Alcohol changes people. And so this is the analogy that Paul is drawing from. Now, point three. Here's the important thing you want to remember. You have voluntarily given control of yourself to the force of alcohol. You have voluntarily done it. You did not will yourself to be drunk. You did not will yourself to be drunk. You made a decision about alcohol. You made a decision to drink and drink alcohol. You made a decision to be filled with wine. Maybe you can say, you can argue your desire was to be drunk, but you know, we're not drunk just because we desire. Okay, I want to be drunk, therefore I'm drunk. No, I make a decision about alcohol. My decision is to go get alcohol and get as much alcohol as it takes to make me drunk. My decision is about alcohol. It's not about getting drunk. This we have to bear in mind. Our decision is a decision about alcohol. You made a decision to be filled with wine, to drink and drink. It is the wine saturating your body and brain that causes you to become drunk. Not a decision to be drunk, a decision to drink wine. And then what happens? The wine does what it's supposed to do. That's all that happens then. The wine just does what wine is designed to do. Wine does what the makeup of alcohol does. If we want to talk about it this way, alcohol doesn't really have a choice about it. I put it in my body, it's going to do what it's going to do. So we make a decision about the alcohol. And then the alcohol does what it is supposed to do. Okay, point four. Enough about that. By analogy, drunkenness is compared to being filled with the Holy Spirit. The point is very simple. To be filled with the Spirit means that you make a voluntary decision about the Holy Spirit. You make a voluntary decision to give control of yourself to the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, it may not sound very sacred to some of you, very spiritual to some of you, but all Paul is doing, here's wine and the Holy Spirit. And he's comparing these two things. And this is a very nice analogy. So I make a decision about wine, to drink it, and I become drunk. I make a decision about the Holy Spirit. The faith decision is to drink. And here's faith, picture of the drink. And what happens? The Holy Spirit fills or controls, just as the wine does. That's the analogy. Where's our decision? I'm not filled with the Spirit just by thinking it, by desiring it. I'm filled with the Spirit when I trust the Spirit. When I'm drunk, I do not make a decision to be drunk. I make a decision about that which will make me drunk. Now, you may say this is fitting here, but it's very important in understanding spirituality as well as the flesh concept of drinking, too. But this is a very important aspect, because what we have to do is realize how am I filled with the Spirit. And even drawing it to our study, how do I love as Christ loved? Our decision is not about love. Not our decision. Our decision is about this person, the person who pours in this life. That's our decision. We make a decision about the Holy Spirit and trust Him, and then the Holy Spirit, He pours in spiritual life throughout our soul. That's what we saw in Romans 5. So we're just doing the same kind of thing all over again. So to be filled with the Spirit means that you voluntarily give control of yourself to the person of the Holy Spirit. I voluntarily give control of myself to alcohol. As ludicrous as that sounds, many people do it on purpose. They think it's some kind of an escape. So they voluntarily give themselves over to alcohol. Spiritually, we voluntarily give ourselves over to the Holy Spirit. We simply trust Him. That's the manner. Here is drinking, and drinking is analogous to our faith, to our simply trusting Him. When the Holy Spirit fills your soul, what happens? Your life is changed. As by alcohol, there's an analogy. Your thinking, attitude, law, everything changes inside of us. Our vocabulary. So here's the principle under point four. Something inside makes a person different on the outside. That's what the world sees. That's what the world sees. Something on the inside makes a difference on the outside. This is what the world sees. Something on the inside that is there because you voluntarily put it there, takes control, and produces a change seen by the outside. We saw this last week. We talk about it sometimes, right or wrong. I'm not going to get into all that, but humor, comedians, joke, comics about being drunk and the way they walk, and you can tell the person is drunk, and they're putting the key and all these kinds of things. There's a difference in this person, the way they walk. It's different things. And sometimes it's grossly effective or seen, and you're aware of it. Sometimes police will have things go with your eyes, and your eyes are affected by alcohol. The things that you can do are affected by alcohol. I should have been glad I touched my nose and not my eye when I did that. That would have been really embarrassing. But there are things that we do and can't do when we're under the influence of alcohol. So what are we seeing? There's something obviously going on inside that causes something to happen outside. Now stay with me, because this is very important in the book of James. Now we come to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit controls on the inside, takes control. He produces changes first on the inside, just like alcohol does. The first change that alcohol does is on the inside, not seen by the world. Maybe you feel it, but it's not seen by the world. But then there are things that start happening that are seen, that are visible to others. Same thing is true with the Holy Spirit, people. Same thing is true. First of all, there's a change that goes on inside, not seen. And this may take a little while in a believer's life. Holy Spirit's working on the inside of a believer, working, doing some things on the inside before there's anything that's going on the outside. But then what starts to happen? For an example, let's just stay with where we're going in the 1 Corinthians 13. On the inside, what is starting to happen in your soul is long suffering. That's on the inside. Nobody sees that. It's something the Holy Spirit starts doing on the inside with spiritual love, something spiritual love does that is pouring inside of us. But eventually, it starts to be seen overtly. Starts to be seen. And what does it look like to the world? Kindness. because you see, that's not what they deserve, and that's not what they expect. Because they've hurt you, but because you're long-suffering on the inside, you now, it looks like kindness, overtly. So what happens on the inside, it starts affecting the outside, just what alcohol does. Something starts happening on the inside, a depression of the, say, the motor system. And so what happens on the outside, we can't put the key in the lock. We can't do things. You see, we can't really walk correctly. Can't make position of the distances of things and with the eyes. But first of all, something happened on the inside. First of all, a lot of changes started happening to the body, to the thinking, the hearing, the smelling, the taste, the sight, touch. Everything starts happening on the inside of the person first. Alcohol first starts to, and then it starts becoming obvious. Now, Holy Spirit, first of all, starts affecting on the inside. Starts making changes on the inside of the believer. And then it starts being seen. James says, faith without works is dead. Okay. What he's saying here is that I claim faith. Okay. And if I claim faith, that means the Holy Spirit will be controlling, and on the inside, He will start pouring in spiritual love. And then, the works of spiritual love would start being seen by the world. Visible impact. Not invisible, visible. First of all, invisible inside. But seen again to ask you. If it never gets to this point, we're in great trouble. Because what did Jesus Christ say? A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And then he made a very important statement. He said, by this, all will know that you are mine. By what? That you love one another. So what starts to happen is a seen effect of this love, which is really a seen effect of this faith. By this, all will know that you're mine, if you love one another. Now in the James passage, what's the whole basis of his criticism of the church? It's the absence of love. They show partiality. And the whole concept of faith without works is showing partiality instead of love. So they claimed they were doing faith, but he said there's no result, so your faith is dead. Faith is dead. Doesn't have that effect. Doesn't show that. So this is the type of thing we're looking for. Is this effect, and this is what Paul is doing in our study here. So wine on the inside makes changes, first of all on the inside, and then they're seen by the world. The Holy Spirit, first of all, makes changes on the inside, takes control, produces some changes on the inside, and then they start to be able to be seen by the world. It's the nature of wine. It changes to dissipation. It changes to debauchery, produces drunkenness. It's the nature of the Holy Spirit to produce spirituality. Therefore, influences are spiritual, like spiritual love. Okay, point five. How are we filled with the Spirit so that we can love as Christ loved? How are we filled with the Spirit so that we can love as Jesus Christ loved? In bold capital letters, stop crying. Stop crying to love as Christ loved. It is by grace. It is by grace. Anything that we receive from God, we come now to that word that many people can use. What does the word mean? What do you mean when you say grace? A lot of people mean, I will do my part, God will do his part, and that's grace. No, that's work. Grace is when I do nothing. And I do not earn or deserve what's happening. I do not earn or deserve the love of Christ being seen in me. I don't deserve that. I don't deserve for the world to see the love of Christ flowing through me. But it does. That's grace. And why does it? Because I have made a decision about the person of the Holy Spirit to just trust Him to pour that love in me. So, we stop crying. Where did you learn this? We first learned this at the cross. What's the first thing we learned about that we had to do in order to be saved? Stop trying to be saved. Stop trying to be moral. Stop trying to be righteous. Stop trying to serve. Stop trying to commit. Stop trying to make Him Lord. Stop trying to do something for Him. Stop. Rest in Him. And what is rest in Him? Faith. That word rest there becomes a strong word for faith in the Old Testament. So we stop trying, we relax from effort, and we rest. We rest from our doing, and we rest in His doing, and that's faith. Rest in His doing is our faith. So to love is Christ's love, we stop trying. It is by grace, not by something we do. So we stop. This is how you and I were saved. People, I'm so convinced, the more I see what's going on, that this whole journey of what we call Salvation One or Eternal Life Salvation is just ingeniously brought up by God as a beginning point to vividly illustrate to us how He wants us to live. Just so convinced of this now that one of the primary whole functions that salvation was designed and built up by the way God did it was, see, this is how you were saved. This is how you're going to walk. This is how you're going to receive My love. This is how you're going to receive the filling of the Spirit. It's what the book of Galatians is about. This is your pattern. You want to know what truth is? You want to understand what truth is? Go back to how you were saved. God did it. I trusted. That's truth. Somebody teaches you something, how to live the Christian life, what you ought to do. It's so confusing. You've got these preachers saying this group saying that group saying this group doing that, this group this denomination that, this movement, and all the things that are going on in the world. How in the world am I going to know who's right? Well, what God has beautifully done for us, He set up Salvation One to show us. Do you know how you're saved? Do you know how you were saved? If you know how you were saved truly, all I did was trust Him. God did that to show you. Now that's the way I want you to walk. Do you know how you got across the Red Sea? Yes. Then that's how you get across Jordan. That's how you live. What happened? They walked across the Red Sea, and then they got bogged down here. Why? Because they didn't want to continue to walk by faith. They preferred to walk by law. And that's what we studied Sunday morning. Very important study Sunday morning. So we just have to make up our mind here. This is how we're going to live. This is how these things are going to become a reality. We stop trying. Rest in Him. Rest in His work. Rest in His saving work on the cross. Relax. Relax from working. Rest from working. Believe that if you stop working and simply rest in Jesus Christ and His work, that you're going to be saved. You did nothing to be saved except to trust Him, and that's all you're going to have to do for this life. And yet, many people just simply cannot do this. Instead of being filled with the Spirit, loving is Christ's love. Relax. Believe that if we're filled with the third member of the Godhead, God the Holy Spirit, this love will eventually start flowing through us and in us. And the first thing it'll do is making changes on the inside. Then it'll start making it. Now, what's one of the main things we studied in the book of Galatians, though? Especially chapter 4, going into chapter 5, with Abraham, Isaac, and Ishmael, and all that. Many Christians want this to happen right now. And it doesn't happen that way. So what happens is, they will make this happen. Follow me? They're going to make the love happen so that it is seen. You can do that. But what you're going to get is Ishmael. You're not going to get Isaac. You're not going to get His love. You will get something that looks okay. You'll get something that satisfies most Christians. But it's earned. It's worked for. It's on a merit system. It's conditional. All of those things. Or you can just trust Him, and eventually, not in your timing, and not in your friend's timing, but in God's timing, you'll soon have Isaac. And it'll look like God's love, which is exactly what it is. So, How do I love as Christ loved? How do I love as Christ loved in a troubled marriage, troubled friends, troubled family, assembly, life, when people do me wrong, hurt me, sin against me, things aren't working out the way I want? Relax just as you did at the cross. Relax just as you did for salvation. Relax for spirituality. Relax for the love of Christ to start flowing through you. Just simply trust Him and realize you can't produce this. You cannot love as Christ loved. It almost sounds weird. Love as Christ loved. Next line, you cannot love as Christ loved. Well, then why give me the command? That's the whole point. It's like, be saved. You cannot save yourself. Well, and I'm damned. No, I provided it. Oh, yeah, just trust me. Love as Christ loved. I can't do it. You cannot love as Christ loved. Okay, then I can't fulfill your sin. I'll give you the Spirit. And therefore, you just trust Him. So we do not make a decision to love. We make a decision about the Holy Spirit. We make a decision about the third member of the Godhead. We have a personal, intimate relationship with the third member of the Godhead. How personal do you want to get? Wine flowing through your mouth, down through your system, into your blood. That's intimate, intimate. That's personal. That's something we take in. Put into our own bodies, put into our own mouth, put into our own bodies, something that is going to take control, and we know it while we're doing it. It is going to influence us, and we know it while we're drinking. Personal. Just me. So here's our beautiful picture. This, if we take this and make it beautiful for a moment, this is what we have here. We partake of the Holy Spirit. We turn ourselves over to the Holy Spirit. We don't make a decision to love. We don't make a decision to be drunk. We make a decision about wine. We don't make a decision to love. We make a decision about the Holy Spirit, people. Make a decision about the Holy Spirit. Taking control of me. I trust Him. Why would you turn yourself over to someone else to take control? Why do people get drunk? Why would you do that? I trust the Holy Spirit with it. I don't trust wine with it. I don't trust other people with it. I don't trust myself with it. But I do trust the third member of the Godhead. I trust Him to take possession of me and to lead me and to guide me and to pour that love in me. This is what we do. I trust Him to do this for me. So this is what we're going to make a decision to, in reference to the Holy Spirit. Point six. Point six is just a final point. I want to quote under point six, Lewis Berry Chafer. And the quote is this: we shall never have more of the Holy Spirit. Yet the Holy Spirit will have more of the believer. We shall never have more of the Holy Spirit, yet the Holy Spirit will have more of the believer. It is not a matter of us getting more of God. It is a matter of allowing, by faith, God to get more of us. That's what our desire is. It is a decision that God will have more of me, not that I have more of God. It's a very beautiful way of expressing what I want us to see here. So, I want God to have more of me, not me have more of God. Let's look at Romans 8. Someday we'll have to just spend a night, two or three, in Romans 8. There are certain pivotal chapters in the Bible dealing with the spiritual life, dealing with spiritual love. One of those is 2 Corinthians 3, Hebrews 8, and of course Romans 8. Romans 8. And let's just, all we want to do is read through the first five verses in Romans 8 to, once again, orient ourselves, not really to study these verses, but to orient ourselves to them. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So believers, get rid of all fear. You and I do not need to stand in fear. Where there is love, there is no fear. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that's the Holy Spirit, has set you free from the law of sin and of death. Okay, so we're free of that. Now, verse 3. For what the law could not do, okay, this is the Mosaic Law, the law we've been looking at, weak as it was through the flesh, God did accomplish, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Okay, so we have Jesus Christ in deity, and we have the Holy Spirit and his deity. This means that trying to love as Christ loved by the energy of the flesh, the integrity of the flesh, the will of the flesh, isn't going to produce it. Now let's look at verse 4. In order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So we do not walk according to the power, the leading of the flesh, but we walk according to the power and the leading of the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. That's how they live their life. That's how they're going to serve God. Don't think this is just thinking of it in a sinful, horrible way. Think of it in a spiritual way, a religious way, really. It's how religious people do. They relate the religious life with the flesh. Set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Things of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is why our study in John 4 is so important. Worship in spirit and in truth, which we're looking at in John 4 now, becomes so crucial. This is how we worship. This is how we live in the Spirit. So loving by human wisdom, loving by the flesh, is not going to fulfill it. It is known, it is experienced, it is controlled by the five senses. This is what he's saying. If you relate your whole spiritual life to the flesh, and you miss it. It's in the Spirit. Spiritual love is by the power of God the Holy Spirit. Man keeps on trying to duplicate this love. You're not going to. It's like duplicating, trying to come up with what God wants. God wants Isaac, we duplicate it with Ishmael. And oh, how Abraham worked at it, and Sarah, and Hagar, and all the turmoil, and everything else. And they thought Ishmael was so wonderful. Wasn't it? And you look at Ishmael, when you look at Isaac, and you see that Ishmael wasn't it. But look how long he had to wait to get Isaac. We just must learn to let God do it in us. To try to love by our own energy of the flesh, by our own power, by the energy of the flesh. What happens when we do this, people? Let me tell you critically what happens. I'm going to try very hard. I'm just going to quote some things in Galatians another way. I'm going to try very hard to love. And by love here, I mean love is Christ's love. I am going to try. Okay, what have we obviously done here? What have we obviously stopped doing and stopped trying if I'm going to get this way? If I am trying to work hard to produce this love, what have I obviously stopped doing? I'm sorry? Trusting Him. If I'm going to do it, I know, watch this, see if this brings a bell with the Galatians now. I no longer need Him, the Holy Spirit. I no longer need the Holy Spirit. If I'm going to produce this love, then I don't need the Holy Spirit. If I'm going to learn the Bible and apply the doctrine, I don't need the Holy Spirit, both one to illuminate it for me and then to be the one to apply it. I'm going to do it. I don't need Him. Be careful how we cut ourselves off, quench and grieve the Holy Spirit. Be very careful. Because the moment you say, I'm going to do this, you're no longer relying on the Holy Spirit. You're no longer trusting Him to produce it. You stop resting in the power of the Spirit. You stop relying on His supernatural power to bring about supernatural love. You stop trusting Him. What did Paul say? You have been severed from Christ. You have been cut off from grace. Those of you trying to what? Trying to be justified by the law. Trying to live your Christian life by the law. What happens when you try to do all of these things by the law? You have cut yourself off from Christ. You've been severed from Christ. Fallen from grace. That's another expression. Fallen from grace. What does falling from grace mean? Loss of salvation? No, it simply means spirituality. Spiritual life is by grace, and when you try to produce it, you cut yourself off from grace. That's all you've done. Here, I'll give it to you. No, I want to work for it. Then you cut yourself off from grace. Because grace means God just is going to give it to you if you're just trusted. But you're going to work for it. You're going to do the works of the law. When you do the works of the law, you cut yourself off. When you try to produce the love of Christ, love one another as I've loved you, and you work out all the ways that you're going to do it, I'm going to control my temper, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. All this stuff that you're going to do, then you no longer need the Holy Spirit. And you don't get to say both. Well, I'm going to do my part and have the Holy Spirit help me, and when it really gets tough, the Holy Spirit will come through. Sorry. It doesn't work that way. I think sometimes I've used the illustration of the TV series The Equalizer. One of the most difficult problems The Equalizer has in that series, if you've ever seen it, is that people always want to get in the way. The people he's trying to help. They always want to, you know, well, I want to get in there. Some arrogant guy, well, I've got to help, you know. Or some arrogant woman, I can do this. And, you know, hey, are you thinking clearly here? You came to me because you couldn't. Why do you want to get involved here with something where I'm going to call in, and who knows how he gets all the powers that he gets, but he's got all of these resources at his command, and you want to get in the way of all of that. You have nothing, want to get involved, and usually they end up causing more trouble for him. Usually he ends up having to do double work than what he would have had to do if he just did a stay at home like he asked him to. But they get involved, and then the crooks get them, and now he has to get them away from the crooks and solve the problem and everything else. That's what we do. Well, I'm going to turn it over to you, and then we get in the way. So now the Holy Spirit has to straighten out the mess that we make and then pour in His love on top of all of that. So what we want to do is just stand back, not fall from grace, and just let Him do it. Not try. Let Him do it for us. So this is what we have to do. Stop resting on our power and start resting on His power. The love of Jesus Christ is supernatural, and therefore it is going to be put into us supernaturally. People, what the Holy Spirit wants to do, appreciate this, the Holy Spirit wants to do is love one another as Jesus Christ loved you. What you're doing then is you're becoming like Him by this love. He's transforming you into the image of Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. This is one of those verses that I like to turn to occasionally, and I hope that it eventually just become part of what we are. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time exegeting, let's just read through it each time, getting enriched on what it means when we do get here to study this. But we all, with unveiled face. Now, you have to go back how the veil is lifted. The veil is lifted through Jesus Christ, and the veil is lifted through the power of the Holy Spirit when He becomes your Lord. Okay. The Lord is the Holy Spirit. He was Christ. That lifted the first veil and ought to be saved. Then the Holy Spirit is our Lord in living the Christian life. Now go back to verse 18. But we all with unveiled face. So now we're looking intently at who and what the Lord is. Unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, being reflected. In other words, we're being transformed into His glory, and that's what we're beginning to see is His love. For we are being transformed into the same image of Christ from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Holy Spirit. So, we're being transformed. Okay, how to love as Christ loved. Point one. How to love as Christ loved. And we'll finish this up tonight. It'll be a good breaking point, because next week we're going to be doing something else with you. Okay, how to love as Christ loved. One, how did Christ love? What was the cause of the love that Jesus Christ manifested when he was on earth? It was not his deity, and it was not his humanity. It was the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ at the president. I want to follow Jesus Christ, okay? There's only one answer to that WWJD, what would Jesus do? Only one answer. He was walked by faith in the Spirit. And beyond that, we can't say what he would do, because we don't know how the Spirit would lead in any and every given circumstance. So we start off with point one. Jesus Christ set the precedence of this love. He set the precedence in the cause of this love, just walking by the Holy Spirit. Two, Jesus Christ sent to us the same power source he sent to us, the Helper. See, this is so important. You know, we make such a great deal about God sending Jesus Christ, and unfortunately, so many Christians get bogged down with the first sending. They never move to the second sending, for God loved the world that he sent his Son. And they stop there, and they get bogged down there. That's a crucial sending. It's our redemptive salvation, eternal life. But don't get stuck there. There's another sending. By the Father, and this time by the Son. So point two, Jesus Christ, parentheses, God the Father also, but Jesus Christ then sent to us the same power source. He sent to us the same helper he had. And in fact, in the John 14 passage, we read, it's another of the same kind, another helper of the same kind. Jesus Christ, helper in salvation. The Holy Spirit is the helper in sanctification or in spiritual life. John 14, 15 to 17. John 15, 26. John 16, 7. Point three. The Holy Spirit was given to us. Now, there are a lot of reasons, but just stay with me on this study. The Holy Spirit was given to us that we could love as Christ loved. That he could pour spiritual love into our hearts, into our souls. Romans 5:5. Filling up the Holy Spirit is simply by trusting him to do what he was sent to do. What did you do at Salvation 1? You trusted Jesus Christ to do that for which he was sent to do. Jesus Christ, I'm going to make this strong, Jesus Christ was not sent to pour in spiritual love. That's what the Holy Spirit was sent. So if you want spiritual love, trust the Holy Spirit. He's the one sent to do it. Or, the Holy Spirit was given so that we could love as Christ loved. Yes, he was given to guide us, lead us, reveal the scriptures to us, give us wisdom. But in this study, we're constantly aware that he was given to pour in spiritual love into our hearts. This is why he was given. Five, true spirituality is a life free from the law. It is a life free from works. It is a life free from sin. True spirituality is a life free from the law, free from works, free from sin. It is a life of faith. It is a life of trusting him. We rely on the Holy Spirit to do all things that we are commanded to do. I still have so many people argue with me. I don't know if it's a failure of mine to communicate or a veil over people's eyes, but we're told to be righteous. We can't be. He pours in righteousness. It's a fruit of the Spirit. We're told to love. We can't. He pours in love. We're told to be faithful. We can't be. He pours in faithfulness. We're told to be patient. We're told not to sin. We're told to do a lot of things. We can't do any of those things. They're the work of the Holy Spirit. So what these things are is we'll be aware of our own limitations. We have to be aware of the limitation of the flesh. we have to be aware of the limitation of the law. Even the law, even if I did the law, I wouldn't be doing what God wanted, because the law doesn't supply the power to fulfill the things that God wants us to do. Six, alcohol controls on the inside. Alcohol controls on the inside. Alcohol is, the effect of alcohol is seen overtly. It controls on the inside. Its effect is seen overtly. By analogy, the Holy Spirit controls on the inside, but there is a beautiful, dramatic effect seen overtly. Now, please bear with me the time factor again here. Beware of the time factor. Now, we could talk about drunkenness in a matter of you know, minutes, hours, but when it comes to the spirit life, let's change those into days, weeks, and months. Days, weeks, and months. It may take a long time for you to walk in the Holy Spirit before you start seeing even the beginning of Isaac, as far as your life is concerned, before you start seeing spiritual love start coming through. And see, this is what aggravates a lot of Christians. They want to see it, and they want to see it now! You can do that. Even alcohol takes a little time. Even alcohol, you can't just, well, let's get drunk. No! Well, it's going to take a little while. Some people, not very long, I agree. Other people, a long time. It varies. Some people, I guess, can smell the cork, and you're already going to see effects. Other people, one drink, boom, you start seeing the effect. Some people, you can just pour into it, and you wonder if you're ever going to see an effect. But eventually it starts showing, revealing itself. Say, people, by analogy, the same thing's true in the spiritual life, but only take it from minutes and hours to days, weeks, and months. A long time. The Holy Spirit's going to work on the soul. These things are on the inside first. And it isn't going to be immediate. Again, I tell you, that's why that whole story of Abraham, Isaac, Ishmael, Hagar, Sarah is repeated over and over in the New Testament. None of us are promised a child when we're 100, but we are promised to be transformed into the image of Christ, and we are promised spiritual love, these types of things. So, what we have to do is just walk in faith, knowing that this is where the hope comes in. This is where the hope comes in. He's going to have spiritual love flow. That's my hope. That's why I walk in faith in the Spirit. I hope. I have that hope, that confidence. Spiritual love will eventually manifest itself. Oh, man, I don't like how long it takes sometimes. I don't like the mistakes I make along the way. I don't like this. I don't like that. But we have that hope that the Holy Spirit will do what He sent to do. He will do it at His timing. I just hope, confidence. I continue trusting Him. The hope of love, the hope of righteousness. Study that in Galatians 5. So we have that hope. Finally, our responsibility in this life is total dependence on the Holy Spirit. That's all our responsibility is. What does man have to do? Man has to rest. Isaiah 28:12, what is the gospel? Give them rest. Give rest to the weary. Give them rest. Here is repose. Just trust God. Just depend on Him by faith. It is the Holy Spirit who produces this love. It is His power who produces this love. So ours is simply a job of depending upon Him. Totally depending on Him. How do I totally depend on the Holy Spirit? Trust Him. Just trust Him. Will God perform? Well, are you saved? Did He save you by you just trusting? Yeah. If we trust Him, that's it, the pattern. This is how you're going to live, and this is how you're going to love. This is how you're going to fulfill all the things that He wants. We're looking at spiritual life. So what's our part? Rest. And depend totally on Him. And He will produce this love. He produces this love, and He is seen in you then. Christ is seen in you. So what's starting to happen? You're slowly being transformed into the image of Christ. And it slowly happens, and you did nothing to make it happen, and all of a sudden people start seeing it. Wow, you're different. Wow, this is happening. That's happening. Wait, what's going on? And oh, how we would love to say, I'm doing this, and I'm working hard, and I'm wonderful. But in our soul, we know. And in our soul, we thank Him. Thank you. Thank you for allowing your spirit to start to change me and transform me into your son. Let's pray in the word of God. Thank you, Father. We praise you and we thank you for your plan, grace plan, for your system that depends not upon us, it depends totally upon you. That all we have to do is to trust you. That faith is the greatest thing that we can do. It allows you to work then in our lives and to pour the love of Christ into us, that the world does not see us, but that it sees Christ. Indeed, it does not see Christ. It sees you. And the world comes to know what is God like. Father, we praise you in Christ's name. Amen.